Good evening, beautiful people all over the world. This is The Hourglass with Isabella. I've decided that I'm going to start a series of solo podcasts, so it'll just be me today, and we're going to discuss the topic of the OBE, also known as the out-of-body experience or astral projection. I wanted to cover a series of these because it's something that I've been having just recently first-hand experience with for the first time in my life. I knew about the concept of astral projection, right, which is this notion that your soul leaves your body and that you can go and explore other parts of the world through what we call remote viewing. So like you're separated from your body. You'll often hear about people who are in surgeries that are separated from their body, and even though they're under anesthesia, they can still see their body on the operation table. They're just kind of looking from a perspective of being up on the roof looking down. And I think that kind of what we call the NDE, the near-death experience, is very similar, if not the same thing, to the OBE. I would even go so far as to like call it, you know, a CNDE, a controlled near-death experience. So I was learning all about this, and I was watching all of these videos on various people's near-death experiences, and I happened to get a suggestion pop up on my YouTube, you know, thanks to the algorithm, in which it stated that, you know, there was this person and that we were living in a simulation, and that the simulation was coming to an end. And so I thought, you know, that's interesting, and I clicked it and I watched it. And to be honest with you guys, I will level, I never actually thought OBE, out-of-body experience, was real. I had a sense that people would talk about it, especially very spiritual types, and that they had a very strong sense of it, and perhaps, you know, much like the ND, that it was basically a hallucination, or that they were simply lucid dreaming, which I do have experience with, and then mistaking it for actually leaving your body, right? Because as we know with lucid dreaming, you know, when you go to sleep, your body basically produces a chemical to paralyze you. And I know that sounds scary, but it's actually there to protect you. This basically stops you from enacting your dreams, right? Because if you didn't have this chemical, we would get up and walk around and hurt ourselves. And that's actually the problem that sleepwalkers have, is their body is not producing this chemical, and so they walk around kind of enacting out their dreams, even though they're asleep. Likewise, when you get into lucid dreaming, it's basically that, you know, your body is in that paralysis state and you are sleeping, but while you're in the dream, you consciously become aware that you're dreaming. And over the years, I've gotten really, really good at this. Like, if I had one superpower, of which I don't have many, it would just be this one, and that's that I'm able to frequently, almost every night, lucid dream. Like, I'm just very aware of when I'm dreaming. If I see something that's off in the dream, and I recognize that it's not part of the dream world, or that I see someone and I say, oh, wait a second, that person's no longer with us, wait a second, I'm dreaming, then it opens up this beautiful, endless world of possibilities where you can control your dream and you can fly and you can manipulate the environment around you and change it to beautiful canopies and trees and rivers and anything you like. And you can even, if you're having like a nightmare, you can basically stop it and control the characters and make them go away. So if a bunch of zombies are like chasing you, you can just turn around and be like, stop, you know, and you can forcefully get rid of them just with the power of your mind. And it's pretty cool, and I've really enjoyed doing that over the years. But I always thought it was just a natural process and part of sleep, and certainly no indication that we kind of live, that our souls go on. So when I watched this video with this chap, and his name was Darius J. Wright, he was talking about, you know, all these different realms, and he goes on the OB and he leaves his body every night, and, you know, he talks to these kind of guides and people that show him these different realms and these really interesting, exciting things, and it's so much detail in the way he was talking. I was kind of just like, wow, this guy, you know, He doesn't sound like he's crazy. He actually sounds legitimately like he's experiencing these things, and he's talking about it from memory because he remembers these trips that he's having out of the body, and can kind of bring back this information with a great deal of clarity. And so, as a result of this, you know, because he was saying one thing specifically, that he could only get into OB when he went through a state of sleep paralysis. I thought that's interesting because sometimes I have sleep paralysis. But I hadn't, to be fair, at this point, I'll say for the note of this podcast, I hadn't had sleep paralysis in maybe 6 years. So I hadn't experienced it in a very long time. You know, where you're actively awake, but you're aware you're paralyzed. They used to call it the old hag syndrome historically, because you often sense a presence in a room or have a sense of pressure on your chest while you can't move and see a figure, which was usually called, you know, the old hag. So that's where that term comes from. But yeah, no, I watched this podcast and I thought, well, that's interesting. No, I didn't know if I necessarily believed it in any meaningful way. And then I went to sleep after watching his podcast, is the irony of the whole thing. And I became aware at one point that I had sleep paralysis. And I thought, oh no, it's because, you know, because I watched that bloody video. And if you've ever had sleep paralysis, it's a really scary state to be in. Like, you go into a natural, like, flight or fight reaction, but you can't flight, so it creates a panic. And you often will have this sense that you're, like, dying as it's going on. It's, like, very anxiety ridden. But, yeah, no, as I was going through this, I just suddenly became aware, like, of this sense of, you know what? Why not try it? The thing the guy was saying, it's not going to work. Why not have a go? And as soon as I thought about leaving my body, because it wasn't like I had anywhere else to go, I literally started floating up and left my body. I mean, I just couldn't even believe it. It was so it was the strangest thing that's ever occurred to me in my entire life. And I start floating up out of my body. And I'm like, oh my God, it's actually happening. Everything he was talking about is real. And I got so scared of the notion that I was actually floating out of my body, I kind of went up an angle, you know, turned around, and then kind of just became so aware of what was going on that I was so scared I floated myself right back into my body successfully, and then came out of a sleep paralysis and had that immediate sense that I was dying. It was like all the energy was drained out of me. I ran downstairs to my partner Michael and was like, oh my God, it's real, it's real. I just left my body, you know, and he probably thought I was fucking crazy in that moment, but I just couldn't believe it was real. And it was an achievable thing that basically anyone can do, is what I learned from it. And in fact, I believe we're actually doing it every night. Like, we all astral project every night. It's just fundamentally a part of the sleep process and the REM process. But what happens is, you know, how you'll get amnesia, you often can't remember your dreams. We never remember it because it's like, imagine you're playing a game, you're playing an avatar. If you want to be fully immersed in the game, you wouldn't want to know what is a game, would you? So you purposely forget so that you can actually have the human experience here. And those out-of-body experiences are meant to be reserved. That the only reason we can have it is so that we can experience an NDE, like the near-death experience. If, let's say, you get in a traumatic car wreck and, you know, you're thrown out of your body, people often talk about that, and you can see what's going on. And then you go and you get a life review where you see all the good things you've done for people and then the bad things and all of that stuff, you know. But this is like the loophole. It's like the glitch in the game. Like, I play a game called Sky, Children of the Light, and it's basically this very beautiful spiritual game. It's like an MMORPG for the phone platform. It's a really great game, but you're basically this little character. You can kind of fly around and you have to collect all these old souls and learn from them. But there's this thing that people do inside the game called OOBE, which is ironic because we're talking about the OBE, out-of-body experience. This is like the out-of-bounds area. So basically, players will take advantage of a glitch in the game to get outside of the area where they shouldn't be. It's like against the game's rules to be there. Not because they think it's bad if you're there. They just don't want to spoil the immersion of the game. And by being outside of it, and you can fly around and see all the janky parts for programming, you can kind of see how... It's like seeing behind the curtain with the Wizard of Oz. You can see how the sausage is made, right? And so I feel it's very similar to that with the OBE, that you're basically taking advantage of a glitch that's already there to access this thing that you're already doing all the time, but you don't remember because you want to enjoy the immersion of the game. And that method is definitively, is that you have to be in a state of MABA, and that is mind awake, body asleep. So in order to achieve this, your physical body has to be sleeping, in a state of sleep where you're producing those chemicals to paralyze yourself, but your mind has to stay awake. So if you want to try and do it yourself, you know, the key is to lay, you know, very still and to rest, to almost meditative, right? I'm not very good at meditation. I've never been any good at it. But to get yourself to a quiet place and not to move, I think it works best when you're laying on your back, and then you wait for a period of calm so that you get really relaxed, so relaxed. But while being relaxed, you also have to keep your mind working. So it especially works well if you're distracted by something else, like you're thinking about a work thing or an event coming up or a romantic thing, whatever, or a, you know, book you just read. And you focus on that and you're thinking about that actively to keep your mind working while simultaneously just letting your body relax, like really, truly relax. And then they say, this is what they say, because I've not experienced part of it, is that you will feel a sort of vibration, or you will hear a very loud noise, kind of like a truck going by or a train going by. Once you kind of feel that vibration going up and down your body, that's when you know that you're getting close to the state that you can actually leave your body. And at that moment, there's a couple of methods for like exiting the body. But for me, what I've done is I will focus on my hands first before any other part of my body. And I will just kind of work on a notion without physically lifting my hands. I will work on the feeling of what it would feel like to be weightless and my hands were lifting out. And then I noticed the more I did this, but so that I could actually feel my hand detaching from my body, like my physical hands remaining still and my body was still, but the spirit hand, so to speak, the soul, right, or whatever it is, was moving out. And you can sort of feel around, move out of that hand, and you can even stretch it quite far out and feel things around the room, like you can feel your face with that hand, oddly. And so once you do that, then you can work on lifting the rest of your body out. I think the best thing is to feel weightless, like you're floating in water, so you kind of float out. If you're lucky enough to get in sleep paralysis, like you happen to wake up in sleep paralysis, it's instantaneous. You can get out without even thinking. That's the best time. That's the real glitch in the window. And for me, it's truly been the most successful way of getting out of my body, is just waiting. So I'm naturally in that sleep paralysis mode, usually after taking a nap. Like, I'll take a nap, I'll wake up, I'll go back to sleep again for a little bit, and then wake up in sleep paralysis. And then it's very easy. I just kind of literally will float out of my body. You can float out of it. You can actually sink down under the bed, or there's a method where you can roll, and you kind of roll over on your side out of your body. And it's interesting, you know, once you get out, because the next step was, you know, I'd experienced this. I knew I'd lifted out. And I just thought it was the most crazy thing. And the really interesting part scientifically about this is when I watched that guy's video, I couldn't remember his name. I was going to look him up because I was like, oh, I really want to have this guy on the podcast. He's really interesting. And I remember I kept looking up like Darren, right? And while I was in this state, I very clearly heard a voice say to me, you know, it's Darius J. Wright. It's not Darren. You know, it's not Darren. I was like, oh, damn. And then I went and I fact checked it. I looked up online, and sure enough, I looked through my YouTube history to find this video. And the guy's name was actually, his name is Darius. So there you go. So then I wrote to him, like, hey, do you want to be on this podcast? And do his thing, because it's the craziest thing. I watched your video, and I thought it was total bullshit. But then I went to bed, and it actually happened, and it's real, and oh my god, you know. Because it's hard to explain, but, like, until it happens to you, like, I have no problem if any of you guys are listening to this and, like, wow, that sounds fucking crazy or stupid or she was just dreaming. Like, I get it, because I was like that until it happened. I think it's one of those things you have to experience yourself before you can ever believe that it's real. And when it happens, my God, is it the most mind-blowing thing. Like, to me, it was the most definitive proof of my life that there is life after death and that we are continuous beings. I mean, in fact, consciousness is fundamental. It's not so much that, you know, we're actually a little soul floating out. It's that, you know, we are all, you know, prevailing. We're everywhere, right? It's like consciousness playing an avatar. Like, we are the avatar. And that's the only way I think I can adequately place it. But once I became aware of that and I actively started trying to do OBE, it started happening like every night. I'm not kidding you guys, like, this was happening like every fucking day. I would go in and I just started having OBEs. I was having sleep paralysis left and right, and as I mentioned before, I hadn't had it in like 6 years, and I was floating out and I got braver. At first I would like float out of my body and I would like walk around the room. I wouldn't go very far because I was terrified after all this stuff I'd heard, but I was gonna, because they talk about your fear, like that your fear will project these terrible things or you'll see these entities and stuff. And I have a lot of experience of lucid dreaming, and sometimes, you know, once you're consciously aware of that stuff, it can be very frightening, even if you know you're dreaming. And so when I was out of the body, it was like this whole new field of, I didn't know what I was gonna see. So I was very reluctant. There were two faults. One was the first couple of times I went out, I was actually kind of blind. I don't know how to describe it. I couldn't see. I knew I was actively floating and out of my body, and in my room I could feel objects and stuff, but I couldn't see anything. Everything was just like this cloudy, bright blur. And then I watched another girl's video, and she said the best way to get over this, because when you first start, it's like you're a baby learning to swim for the first time or take first steps. It doesn't come naturally when you're conscious always, and so sometimes you have to help it. And so she said the best thing you could do if you can't see is to say out loud, clarity, clarity. And so I started doing that. I tried it. I thought it was crazy and it won't work. But the next time I went out of body, I floated up and I said, clarity, clarity. And sure enough, I could see the whole room, and not with my human eyes, because I could see myself on the bed. I turned around to check, and I was there sleeping peacefully, laying there in bed, but I could see everything in the room in perfect clarity. And at that moment, I heard my partner Michael talking, and I got brave, because I was like, I told you before, I was like only hanging out in a room. I got brave and I kind of like floated through the wall, and kind of like you imagine a ghost would float through a wall, but it was weird. I could, as I passed through it, I could actually feel the texture of the stuff in the wall. And I know that sounds weird, but I floated out, and there I was in the garden from above looking down, and I could see a large silver car, and I could see Michael talking to a man. He was talking to him out there, and I couldn't really hear what they were saying, but I could kind of see the hand gestures and the conversation going on. And then just like that, I heard a dog barking. And it was like, as I heard the dog barking, it was like I just got pulled back into my body. Straight back, like a slingshot, back into my body. And then I woke up. And I had, again, this is the hard part, guys, is when you have this and you go through it, you will have this sense every time, especially in the beginning, this sense that you're dying. And so it's really scary. So you get up and you literally feel like you are like on the edge of death, and the anxiety is just otherworldly. So I ran downstairs. I think I like poured myself a glass of champagne and drank it really quickly. And I talked to Michael, and I was like, it's a crazy thing. I was just outside, and I saw you, like, talking to this guy in a silver car. And he's like, that was the guy who was just delivering, like, our Publix order. Like, it's kind of like a DoorDash thing where you can order from a grocery store. And he'd brought in the deliveries. And that, sure enough, was the guy's car. And I'd really, like, seen that interaction take place. So, like, from a scientific standpoint, I thought that was super interesting, and it gave me a lot more strength to like because nothing bad happened in that, to, like, experiment further. So the next time, and I had a couple of, I think it's worth noting, I had a couple of failed attempts between this. I would, like, try to get out of my body, and I couldn't, like, it wasn't working. And I got really stressed out. And if I tried to, like, force it, it wasn't working. So I want to let you know, if you try this and, like, it's not working, it's completely natural and okay. Like, for me, I never even experienced this till I was in my 30s. Like, ever. And some people will try this for, like, 20 years before they even get it once. You know? But I think the key there is perseverance. And I've found if you stress about it too much, it's certainly not going to happen. And your better bet is waiting. If you happen to get sleep paralysis, waiting till you're in that state, and you'll have a much better chance of getting out. Oh, actually, before I will tell you about my third experience, but before I get to it, another great tip for, like, getting out of the body that I saw in another video on YouTube is that if you're stuck and you're having problems, you can actually imagine a rope attached to the ceiling, and you basically pull yourself up. In your mind, with a rope, you imagine the texture of a rope and the feeling of it would be to lift up, and you imagine that rope is anchored to the ceiling. And sometimes, if you're in that right, that MABA state, that mind awake, you know, body asleep, then you can achieve that. So that's another, I hope that's a helpful tip for you guys out there. And actually, there's one more on top of that, I'll tell you. After this, I purchased a book called Experiences Out of a Body. I believe it's by Robert Munro. He's, like, the guy who apparently is, like, the forefront. He's the guy who ever first really wrote about this in a scientific way. He had the Munro Institute, where they actually had lab settings and were conducting all sorts of scientific experiments to prove that this phenomena was real. And more recently, you might have heard of the Gateway Project by the CIA. And that actually, I actually read, little did I know, that this was going to happen to me, but on one of my previous podcasts, you can find it, I read the missing page that had been hidden from the Gateway Project from CIA, and it actually covers all of this astral projection stuff and how they were actually using it for military function. I just thought it was fascinating. But anyway, that Robert Munro guy, apparently he was involved, like, the military actually visited his laboratory to talk to him about it, which is how real, should tell you, this phenomena is and how it was actually being very seriously studied at that time. Unfortunately, he has now passed away, but his book, if you ever get the chance to read it, and apparently has a couple of other ones that I want to read as well and I haven't, but it covers all sorts of techniques, like talking about how to get out your body and everything, and one of them he talks about that I've found useful is sleeping facing, like, north to south, like your head is facing north, right? And at first, because when I first achieved it, I certainly wasn't facing that way. But if you actually look at the science and the number of times that they had successful leaving of the body, like 90% or something is when you're in that, facing that way. And I don't know why that would be or what the science is behind that, but I started doing it. I actually changed the way my bed was set up just to test this out, and sure enough, I've had a lot more success and frequency for sleeping in that layout. So I think that's a good pro tip. But getting back to, like, the next experience I had, and I honestly wish that I'd, like, kept a dream journal and written some of these down, because this only started happening, like, a few weeks ago now. And it's just been this ongoing thing, and I've had so many adventures out of the body and seen so many wild, beautiful things, but I just kind of wish I'd written it down. And that's partially why I'm making this podcast for you guys, so that I have kind of a verbal diary of it, so I can start at some point as I go along, because this is not, I promise you, this is not going to be the last of these videos. I am actually, when I go to New Orleans tomorrow, I am actually having an interview with Darius J. Wright, the guy who does the out-of-body experience, on November 5th. I'm going to do a video interview podcast, which I'll be putting on my YouTube, and I will put the audio here for you guys as well, because his stuff is fascinating. This guy's, like, the pro. He's doing this all the time, and he's seen so many amazing things, and it's very much because, I think, listening to his stuff that has enabled me to even ever be able to have these experiences. So check out his stuff. I highly, highly recommend that. But yeah, in this third experience, like, I got a bit braver. I was like, I'm gonna leave this area. Like, I decided I didn't want to just be in the bedroom, and even if it was risky, you know, he talks about, like, this thing, the halls of Amenti, and, you know, the Akashic records and all these cool things where you can, like, check your past soul lives, and he had, like, people guide him there, and he could actually see all of these past things that had happened on Earth and these different realms, and it was so fascinating. I was like, I have to go, like, check that out. So that was my mission, has been my mission. I'm going to go to this thing called the Halls of Amenti. And so I started, you know, on this adventure of trying to get there. And the first time I got out of my body, and I was like super excited this time. I didn't have a fear that I usually have. I was like, let's go. And I just flew, and I flew out through the wall, out of the thing, like just the speed of light. I was gone, and I was just moving along, and I could see just the most beautiful green valley. I don't know where I was. It kind of looked like Switzerland, but somewhere with lush green valley, and the greens were greener than any green I've ever seen on this earth, like in our world. Like, the colors, it's hard to describe because the colors were so much more colorful than anything I've perceived here. And I just was astounded by the beauty, and I was just cruising through, you know, because you're kind of like flying, and I could see all this scenery stuff. And then I started to become aware, but I was like lagging. And as I started to lag, I just had that sense that I was like losing altitude and losing energy simultaneously. I don't know how to explain that. But like, if, for example, if I had a lucid dream, I can fly all I want and I never run out of energy and I can do anything I want. But for some reason, when you're out of body, you can experience this thing I've noticed where you can run out of energy. And if you do run out of energy, you're more likely to end up back in your body. Like, it's almost like sometimes there's a little timer on it. And so I started to notice myself lagging, and sure enough, I ended up back in my body. But I was a bit put out, but at the same time, I was really excited because for the first time I'd seen this beautiful greenery. And so I knew there was other stuff out there, and I was even more excited about this prospect of going to these halls and finding this gorgeous thing. And I'm going to take a short break here, because I'm going to go grab a glass of orange juice, but I want to tell you guys more about it and the other experience. Like, some of them, like this beginner stuff, it's whatever, but they get so more increasingly profound, and I want to share that with you accurately. So I will be back in a second, guys, and I really appreciate you being here.